Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
What's going on, guys? You're listening to the Everyday Struggle podcast. I'm Nadeska here with my guys DJ Academics and Wayno. Now, late this week, we got confirmation that Chance the Rapper and Kanye West have a 7-song album on the way. Plus, Chance and Gambino have also recorded a few tracks for an upcoming joint project. Our thoughts on those coming. But first, let's start with Meek Mill's big performance at the 2018 BET Awards, where he debuted a new song called Stay Woke and paid respects to XXXTentacion and Jimmy Wapo.
I like the tone that Meek Mill is addressing everything with now. Meek, he has a level head. Not only is he, by the way, a lot of things he's mentioning or speaking on, he's speaking on from his perspective, of course, what he went through, him getting locked back up. And, you know, he's not only just saying, oh, it's just them, it's them, it's them. He's also taking accountability. He's admitting to his Percocet addiction that he did have. And also, he's speaking about how the system is just set up to pretty much fail you. He said the judge gave him a chance, just that they could fuck him over later. So I think the song is powerful. It reminds me of Young Black America, another song that he puts out, that he put out a while ago, which has that conscious message. And as I see him go forward with this prison reform approach, I think these are the type of songs that's gonna help push that forward. I'm not too sure if this is what the normal Meek fans wanna hear, but I could tell he's on a mission right now, and I'm not going to criticize. All I could say is continue the fight, man.
Right. Well, what I really liked about it is that he didn't just, like, I wouldn't say attack, but he didn't just criticize police in this song. He talked about us killing each other as well.
Right. So how can I pledge allegiance to the flag when they're killing all our sons, all our dads? He also says, I come from a place when you kill your own brother, you can brag.
Right. Also, we scream Black Lives Matter, but we still towing ladders. Mm-hmm. You know, watching our own brothers trying to get at us. What I like about it is, like, taking the accountability and speaking up for more black-on-black violence. Mm-hmm. You know, we always see a lot of people talk about, oh, well, y'all are killing each other. And not just that, but it's like, I think in order for us to get further, we got to check each other about it. Mm-hmm. Because in the same breath, like, we also like to hear songs. We talked about this, like, last week, like, about dudes, how they rhyme stuff with murdering and all of that. And it sounds cool till something actually happens.
Right.
So I like the fact that Meek is taking accountability for himself and just the hood. Like, he's the hood hero.
While we wait to hear what else Meek has in store, we know for sure that Drake's fifth album, Scorpion, will make a splash this weekend. The album drops June 29th in a series of billboards with messages like A-side, B-side, and Don't Hit Me When You Hear This have us expecting a double album and maybe a few more shots. All right, look, guys, a couple more days till Drake drops Scorpion. Chops is so excited, he cannot help himself. Drake's going to be on every rundown this week. So over the weekend, he put up a few mysterious billboards all around Toronto. A lot of hints on here, a lot of stubs. Maybe Ak can help us through. So is there more? Don't Hit Me When You Hear This. A-side, B-side, I Just Flipped a Switch. Elevate, Fashion Week is more your thing than mine. Okay, that one's not so much a sub there. Look, what did Drake tell you? It'll all make sense when the album comes out So is this part of it all making sense?
This nigga talks riddles, okay?
Is that a riddle with the fashion riddle? One? That doesn't sound like a riddle to me.
I mean, that's not a riddle only because have you seen how Drake dresses? Of course, Fashion Week is not his thing.
All right. So do y'all want me to get on some cynical shit, right? Or like conspiracy?
Break it down, act.
No, this is me thinking, right?
Okay.
Cynical act? Okay.
Yeah, because homie talks in riddles, right? And even when I was talking to him, like, he was real careful in saying shit. But just even looking at some of these, well,
we'll hear it one day.
Hey, he does. No, he does. The way he talks, I kid you not.
Even on the phone.
We were on the phone. The way he communicates, mm-hmm. like, it's like he knows this might go public. And I hope that's how he talks with his chicks.
Especially with Espionage. Right.
Hey, she go out. Anyway. From what I'm seeing, if I'm just seeing shit and assuming some shit, when I see going from a boy to a man, Drake, they all call him the boy. Mm-hmm. If I'm thinking that this album might be a growing up process, might be him now accepting the fact that he got a child. He not no bachelor running around, you know what I mean, doing his thing.
It's nice.
And also the A side, B side thing, in my mind, it's a double album. We got singing on one side, we got rapping on one side. He's barring niggas
he looks
up.
So happy. Know,
hit songs.
Look at him. Look at him.
He's hit
awake.
Songs.
Look at him.
He's coming.
He's in the
okay?
clouds.
Okay. And then we over here. Listen, Drake. All Drake fans. And I think all fans in general, I believe, always wanted that Drake singing album.
I always wanted him rapping too.
Mm. Yeah,
I've always wanted that.
Well, that's why people say he couldn't really have a classic like that. The culture would always say is a classic like a Good Kid, Mad City because like you. Two rap songs and then he's like fucking harmonizing for three songs. Like what?
So you like this idea, this prospect of a double album?
Yes, yes. If it's separated by rapping and singing, I love it. Now I'm just this is wishes for me. I don't know nothing, but it would be nice if you could get some of those some dope features on there, man. Like if he could he has some great collabs with Aaliyah. Mm-hmm. If you could get that on there. A lot of stuff that, again, I'm just wishing. This is my wish list. Okay,
wish the list then.
Yeah, that
you said Aaliyah.
Aaliyah.
What features do you want from Drake at this point?
He has it. He's gotten a feature from everybody.
What would be interesting?
Yeah,
I want to see. I want to see a feature with him and the GOAT, or at least a sample.
You talking about Jay or?
What? No, the GOAT. Okay, MJ. No. Okay. Jackson. All right. Anyway, but
you just rolling the dice on
okay.
shit.
Like, right.
A nice MJ sample. Shit. Okay. He did that. Right.
Well, what I have to say about like, here's this right? Fuck all them billboards. like fuck all them billboards. Just drop.
Please don't
shit.
Bring up Pusha T now.
Nobody said Pusha T.
Hold on.
Obsessed with him. Every time I say some Pusha T, before
no, because I can hear the tone.
No.
Nobody cares about that.
But wait.
What about...
You broke down the A side, B side. I just flipped a switch. What about... Fashion Week is your thing than mine. How about that?
Yeah, I do believe he's taking shots like Ye on this joint.
On a billboard? Why?
No. Well, I think the billboards just hint to what's going
to
be an album.
The real shots
right?
that are coming.
Like, not only that, right? Not only the Fashion Week is more your thing than mine, but... Don't hit me when you hear this. I think he's gonna say some shit that people might not like, and he's saying once this shit is out, yeah, it is what it is. You get me? And clearly, I'm gonna assume it's at Ye. I just don't know why it's at Ye.
Right.
Okay. He just wrote yikes for the guy. The guy's admitting you wrote it. Like he's like fucking coming forward saying yo, you wrote a verse that didn't get
Because he's
get
the boss and he let.
Push
come on, you know
on.
Why?
All right. Yeah,
so look, all I'm saying is this. Fuck all them billboards. I'm ready to hear this shit. Like, mm-hmm. my anticipation is, like, as high as it's going to be.
Word.
I just want to hear the album. I don't care for billboards, but I think that the billboard thing is a nice little rollout plan. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, I just want to hear the fucking album. That's it.
More on Drake next week. Right now, it's time for a little Kanye tangent, because just when we thought he might be done with the manic press run, the New York Times dropped a feature which finds him confidently saying that his black fans would never abandon him, even if he continues to make wild statements like slavery was a choice.
I'm not surprised by anything this man says out of his mouth anymore. Like, I don't get it, yo. I don't get it. I'm tired of like, huh?
You don't believe him with that statement?
Do I believe him? I just think the way he goes about how he says shit. It's not the message. It's how you say it.
He's kind of nonchalant, like yeah, ain't going nowhere.
Yeah, it's like it's. And the thing is that it kind of, I wouldn't say shits on people. You know, you are kind of shitting on people like politely.
Yeah.
Right. It's like, oh, nah, you ain't going nowhere. Like it don't matter what I say. And that shit is just disheartening because that means that we don't know what you're going to say. Like, that slavery is a choice shit came from left field.
What if he said, quote, I'm not black, I'm kind
of. Oh, no, I'm done.
Nah, I'm not going to lie, man. His comment came across as basically, yo, I got a bunch of some house slaves as my fans. They ain't going no goddamn where. Like, it don't matter what I say, they going to still be here. Because Massa is still me.
And is he wrong? If he said, I'm not black, I'm Kanye, you still support?
What? Listen, you know.
Answer the question, brother. I'm going to answer it.
Don't throw this on me.
I'm going to answer it.
His music or just him overall? Because I think that's where it becomes dicey. I keep telling you, music is something that is hard to avoid. You can make a conscious decision to not to buy Yeezy.
Okay.
But music, something that it could enter your airwave without you wanting it to, it's very hard, okay?
So hold on to that.
Not listening to music.
Yeah, hold on to that. I have some more quotes for you guys, and then just think about the question.
Riding past, bumping that new Yeezy, man. Like,
we talking about him saying, I don't want Des to lose her thought, but we talking about him, if he were to say, I'm not black, if he said something like that.
If he pulled an OJ, basically.
Right, if he pulled that.
But that's what I'm saying.
So you're fuck
not,
the music.
You're not talking about listening to music.
Yeah, we're not talking about. Yeah,
but I'm not supporting Kanye. Period. Right now, like, how am I again? Other than listening to his music, which I still listen to his music, mm-hmm.
is
right?
that's a form of support, essentially. I mean, but that's within our work parameters that we got to listen to music.
I would probably only listen to the old catalog.
Huh.
Which, to be honest, I guess it is still support, but
to an extent, because. I just could never take somebody saying they not black. I love being black. I don't see a problem with it. Mm. I don't understand how black men have problems within their own, within their self and how they identify themselves and all of that. I could never jack anybody saying I'm not black.
And by the way, he would not say I'm not black, I'm OJ. He would definitely probably swag it up a little bit and say I'm not black, I'm a Kardashian.
All right, look, so.
Here he goes.
So, no, come on. And by the way, I do want to say, so this is my breakdown of what he said with that, right? So you feel like he got a bunch of house Negroes as like his fans.
Yikes.
Cool, I get you, dog. But I do agree with somewhat of what he's saying in terms of him saying, listen, you know what? We're not a monolith, and my political views is something separate from other things I do.
The problem is, now, his political views are completely uninformed. So listen to this quote, right? Okay. He says, quote, having a political opinion that's overly informed, it's like knowing how to dress as opposed to being a child and saying, I like this. I hear Trump talk and I'm like, I like the way it sounds. Look, this Kanye can have this sort of stance when it comes to fashion and his Yeezys right, and yeah. music. When people's lives are on the line, like right. we're watching kids in cages at the border, this shit is just reckless.
Yeah, the problem I have with Kanye, yeah, I don't give a fuck if a nigga really is rocking. Like, I'm not political banging, all right? If you rocking Democrats or Republican, I could still be cordial with you either way. The only thing is when you have a big platform like Kanye and you're going as hard and you keep doubling down. It's like you keep doubling down. We're like, nigga, this is like a bad bet. You're still doubling down. You're right. still doubling down. Like, my thing is Kanye, because I watch Fox News mm-hmm. and I watch CNN. But you know when I watch Fox News, even though I might not agree with some of the shit they're saying, mm-hmm. they're coming with whatever facts. It could be alternative facts, but they're coming with whatever facts they got to support their opinion. Kanye don't know shit about shit
that's,
in terms of
that's why you gotta stop fucking talk. That's why you right. gotta stop talking about it because it's detriment. It's the same shit as what I just said about somebody saying something and then all types of people saying they feel exactly the same way. Yeah. You know how many people is gonna support Trump's narrative based on their favorite rapper saying that? Why do you think they put clothes on your favorite rapper and sneakers on your favorite ball player so you can buy into the shit? Yeah. So my thing is that you gotta stop saying shit without knowing. If I don't know a word, even as old as I am, like, if I don't know a word, I'll ask somebody
yeah.
or I'll say, yo, am I using the right word or am I using it in the right context? I'm not just gonna use the shit and say it because I like the word or because I like how this shit sounds. And that's my biggest problem with him. Also, with this whole, like, okay, a lot of black people don't abandon you. You wanna know why? Because we got a smidge of the fucking hope mm-hmm. that you'll turn around And not it's not about music. You'll be the person that we fell in love with.
Or just don't. Like, we don't need you to be that champion, but just don't say anything. So one more. On being irresponsible, he says, we need to be able to be in situations where you can be irresponsible. That's one of the great privileges of an artist. An artist should be irresponsible in a way like a three-year-old. Okay, cool. In a lot of situations, when it comes to life and death issues, families getting separated, no, it's not okay to be irresponsible.
One of the big things and the big problems I got with Kanye is that, bro, you like some personality traits of Donald Trump because they match up with you.
Because y'all make him feel like he could achieve anything.
Y'all both, like, just jump out the window saying wild shit. Mm-hmm. I get it. Y'all are congruent in certain things. And because of that, you fuck with it because you see a lot of you in him. Right. But you have to make that abundantly clear that you're just a kind of a selfish asshole just like him, and you're pompous just like him, and make that clear. Don't say politics. That ain't
and
politics,
he's been,
my brother.
He's been clear, right? That he doesn't support Trump
because
policies.
He doesn't even know them. But he's talking politics. So you got to shut the fuck up about politics if you don't know about politics.
You got to pick where you at, man. Like, and the whole thing is, I just can't understand, like, what he's not understanding about everything that he's doing. Mm-hmm. Also, I get the whole shit about being irresponsible, but being irresponsible. I wouldn't say irresponsible, be fearless. Like, kids are fearless. A child will jump off this table not knowing that they could crack their head because they don't fear it, right? Now, I think that people have to be like that in business, but that's some real rich nigga shit to say.
Facts.
That's not for the average person that's getting up every day, working 40 hours a week, hoping they get some overtime. That's not for them.
Worried about your kids walking on the street alone. Kanye doesn't have those problems. He's worried about, like, getting respected in the fashion industry while people are fighting for their actual lives.
And honestly, I feel that's cool, too. Like, that's cool for you to want to get your respect there, but separate the two. If you want us to separate your political views or your political stance from your music, be able to keep that shit where it's at. Until you're ready to run for president, like you said, or whatever the case may be, until you're running for councilman or some shit, shut up about them politics. Straight up.
Facto.
Like, real shit. Shut up about them politics, because at the same time, he's not affected by the same things that we're affected by. Even for some of the people like ourselves, like, I'm not affected by the same things that everybody that lives in the hood are. But I'm not detached from the hood. And mm-hmm. and I don't mean that in the go stand on the corner thing. I go speak at schools. Right. I go build with brothers and sisters everywhere and tell them what they can become.
I know immigrants who are worried about, like, their status in the country. It's like, we're dealing with real people.
We're dealing with real shit. And the thing is that when somebody likes your music, and it, like, when somebody likes your music and then they gotta hear that, it's like being in an abusive relationship. Somebody smacking the shit out of you and then telling you that they love you.
Mm.
It's like, you're not gonna keep dealing with it.
Of course, Kanye followed up those first controversial statements with a series of good music albums, the most recent of which was Teyana Taylor's Keep That Same Energy. But now, Teyana's saying the project wasn't actually completed before it was released.
Why not wait the extra week or two? I guess there's no need to answer that because the album's out.
Yeah, I mean, the reason why, like, honestly, like I said, I just think it was more of a misunderstanding because Kanye know how much I've been through. I mean, the whole squad know how much I've been through. So I think it was more so of them making an executive decision of, like, damn, we, like, you know, she been waiting for this moment. Like, let's do whatever it is gonna make her happy. Not realizing that I probably would have, like, waited that week. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't even know, like, when the album dropped, I didn't know that much stuff wasn't cleared. So, like, when the album dropped and my friends woke me up like, yo, the album is out, like, I was excited, but I was also like, wait, so that means they was able to get everything cleared?
Right.
Like, it was really just a honest misunderstanding of me thinking, like, oh, maybe some shit happened overnight. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so, we all good.
Yeah, so when I heard the album, I was like...
All right, this is unfortunate. So remember, she had the listening party. There was a bit of a delay for it to get on the streaming services. And then Kanye had Kim tweet, like, oh, he's on the way from Paris. He's been working on this the whole time. But, like, everyone was wondering why he's still working on the album hours before it's supposed to drop. But anyway, do you guys think if she re-releases this, fans are going to go back and check and give it, like, a fair listen?
No, I think that she should hold off. I think that she should hold off on releasing it because now we're seeing that these processes are being rushed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the only one that it seemed like it made sense really was Pusha. Pusha's the only one that came out with no issues on time.
Because we felt like he'd been working on this project for a long time
already,
right?
He'd been
working
on it for a long time. Now it's like, okay, the Nas one, it didn't go up. Like, we were sitting waiting for it all day.
They blocked it. Let's keep it up. They blocked it.
Even Ye's didn't come out, like, immediately at night. I think Kissy Ghost did arrive on time. Mm-hmm. But Tiana's, it took a bit of time, and then they didn't clear everything. So now, yeah, I think Kanye was just like, you know what? We all dropping. You dropping now, too. And she didn't right. know. Like, all right, cool. And then they wasn't prepared. Like, yeah. they really not, it doesn't look like they're prepared.
It kind of felt like, yeah, he picked these dates, and yeah. everyone sort of had to fall in line. But
exactly.
I mean, the other artists, so like a Nas and Cudi, these are like super established, super mega stars. It's different. She's in a bit of a different situation where people haven't heard as much music from her as I'm sure she wanted. So, Ak, what do you think?
This is why I can't really look at these joints as albums, right? I'm looking at them like just little either mini projects or really EPs. But you know what? I don't even know if I wanted to know that, though. I don't know if I wanted right. to know.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. The official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Because I like her project. I really like her project. I was impressed by her project. I'm impressed to the point that, again, it went beyond my expectations, and I'm not too sure where my expectations were coming in, but I didn't know if I really wanted to hear her music. And after hearing, it wasn't a need, like, yo, I need
her right.
music.
Right.
And then after hearing her project, I was like, I do need her music, right? So when she says this, now I'm thinking, all right, so what would have been different? And I'm starting playing these what-if games, and I'm like,
and now she says,
is it one of the songs I don't like that would have been off and would have been replaced with something else? Now what's this other thing? I don't like hearing it now, given that I'm not hearing the tracks that she originally wanted on it.
Right?
We got the project. It is what it is. It would be dope to, like, I guess, hear it along the way, but I mean, like, a week or two after the album came out, like, it kind of makes me feel like I got the watered-down version of what right. was intended to be the album. So now I'm thinking, like, maybe, do you really fuck with it? Or like, you're basically liking the hand-me-down version of it. You get me? Yeah. So, again, I would love to hear the other songs that didn't get cleared.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But her kind of mentioning it when I'm still digesting the album was like,
So you guys would prefer, for example, like you said, bonus songs later, a little EP versus like trying to re-release this?
Yeah, I don't think she should re-release it. I think that she should hold on to the song. Like now you have the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think she just got caught up in that whole good music whirlwind. We gonna dominate the summer. Now you have the time. And it's not a bad project. Like we all agreed that her project was pretty dope.
Right.
You know, we've been waiting for it for a long time. I think now just go back, add some more stuff and then plan a whole big rollout because that's what she really needs. I feel like she really needs a more concise rollout as opposed to, all right, we dropping 7-song albums, you up next.
Yep.
You know, it's like now everybody wants their 7-song project now. It's like...
Maybe it's perception or just how you kind of like put it out there.
Mm-hmm.
But if she had said, hey, listen, there was so much more, even greater music that didn't make it, but it's coming in a part two, I would interpret it different.
Right.
The way she says it is kind of like this isn't exactly what I wanted you guys to do.
Because it's hard, because like we're in the situation where sometimes we put out content, maybe it was like a bit rushed, it's not like you're not happy with how it turned out, but this is different. It's like a project, it sticks, you know?
And as far as Kanye, I'm not going to blame Kanye for it. I'm blaming the label. I mean, I'm blaming the label.
Kanye,
what's
label?
The label? It's Kanye.
Well, Shit, however that get on the back end for label clearances, make it happen, man.
But
y'all know how Ye works. Ye is the guy who puts out an album and says he's still working out.
But the thing is that he's very secretive. Like, okay, so you have, they're distributed through Def Jam, mm-hmm. Good Music, but they're not working hand-on, I don't believe, like, with the staff. So they just bring it and say, here, this is what we want to do. And you can't do that if you had no plan to clear these samples. It's sometimes a sample can stop a whole project because you have that one hit record that has the sample and the artist is like, yo, I need this record and everybody wants it. But the people we have to clear it with is like, nah, we're not clearing it, or you have to negotiate it. Samples could take a long time and he's been sampling a lot. Mm-hmm. So we can't put that on Def Jam. We got to put it on Ye a bit because I don't know the process, but it seems like they don't have the information. Right. If you don't have the information, then you can't do the clearances. Or they're not taking it, like, they're not doing it fast enough. Like, the seven-song project shit is cool, but think about in terms of an album, right? Nipsey Hussle's first album, it's 5 years in the making almost. Like, you know, like, this is his debut. He dropped a lot of projects, but it was a long time of him working on this. Seven-song project, it sounds like it's rushed. Like, they didn't have a plan for it.
But, I mean, that's sort of what Kanye's been doing, right? Yeah. With, like, Yeezus, we know Ruben said, like, he finished it very last minute with Pablo. He was, like, still tweaking as it was up, so... This happens when you're working with Kanye. It's just unfortunate for an artist who still needs more exposure musically.
Yeah. I mean, him and Just Blaze did Blueprint in like 2 weeks, but you're working with Jay-Z, that's a different type of artist.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, we'll see what happens if she does end up re-releasing this project. Up to this point, we were expecting Tiana's album to be the last in the Good Music series, but we were wrong. Chance the Rapper confirmed to Peter Rosenberg on Open Late that he and Kanye are planning to drop a 7-song project soon. We know that Chance bodied Ultra Light Beam on The Life of Pablo, but what would we want from a full Chance and Ye project?
Honestly, though, I do want to hear it. I just want to hear more Chance than Kanye, though, and I never thought I would have said that a couple of years ago. Mm. I think the direction that Chance is going, as long as it's kind of touched up by Ye, I'm good for it. If it's Ye and a touch of Chance, I am cool. Mm. Okay, also... You know, when I think about it too, like someone who, like Chance, who I believe in the culture right now, like he stands out more than just a musician. Like it looks like he's someone who's always out there trying to do stuff for other people. And I see how he kind of raises a flag and waves a flag for Chicago. I do have to think and wonder how Chance is comfortable with some of Ye's recent antics, comfortable being in the studio with them, releasing a project with them. Again, I know some people try to go as far to say they're going to boycott Kanye, but what about the artists who work with him and put out music with him? Like, if that's the type of stuff he's kicking, the rhetoric that might even bleed into the music, how do you approach that? Do you be like, yo, listen, Ye, we're going to do this album, but when none of those problematic thoughts could enter the album? Or do you be like, you know what, I'm not even going to get in that energy. I'm not even going to mesh with that energy right now, even if it is to put out an album. So I wonder how Chance actually deals with those type of things. And who knows? I would like for him to speak on it, though, before I hear it. But nonetheless, if I'm going to hear it, more Chance, less Ye.
So we know that Kanye and T.I., so T.I. clearly had issues with what Ye said. They did the track going back and forth.
Yeah.
Trying to explain their sides. I'm not really sure if that resonated with people or made us feel like we understood anything further.
Right.
So, yeah, Wayne, what do you think? Because we did talk about... Chance, his views definitely seem to be much different than Kanye's.
Right. I think when it comes to the project, I would like to hear it, like, produced by Kanye. Like, I agree with Act. Like, I'm at this point, I'm kind of Kanye'd out a bit.
This is what you felt about Kid See Ghosts as
yeah.
well. That you would have loved a Cudi project Kanye
produced by him, but I don't even want to hear a feature on it. Like, as long as it's gonna be like the Chance that we know, like, you know, and not too gospel-y. You know what I mean? Like, I think that what he does in that space is cool, but I don't want to hear the whole project in that way. I want to get my G Herbo. I want to hear G Herbo in there. You know, I'm keep campaigning for this dude. I want to hear G Herbo on some Kanye production. And him and, what's his name, Chance have a good relationship. So hopefully that can happen. I mean, I think it's going to be a good thing overall.
Man, Chance needs to stop tiptoeing around it, man. Throwing that hat in the ring to compete with Kirk Franklin and the likes of.
Come on, don't put him there.
He could definitely give NF a run for his money. I want to see my man. I want him to do something that, again, it doesn't have to be like a traditional gospel album.
Yeah, I don't...
But something that's more along the lines of spiritual. Like, I feel like that's his thing. You know what I mean? Like, he's a good guy. He's the message in his music is always very positive. I feel like he should just own that. Kanye always has some great soulful samples. I believe those bring him to the next level.
Yeah.
Add a couple choirs. Kanye great at making it bigger than life. You know what I mean? That's why he's a great producer.
Right.
Actually, legendary producer. And, you know what I mean? You're right. I just don't want Kanye to come on and mess up the vibe talking about
bleach a-holes and all of that. I feel like we could just do without that. But in all, I want Chance to do what Chance does. And I'm telling you, I'm campaigning for him to do a gospel album. I really want
Have you listened to the Snoop gospel album yet?
Cut it out. Snoop was also a reggae artist at one time.
Right.
Like, never forget how embarrassing
Snoop
that
Lion?
Was for the culture. Embarrassing. Chance also told Rosenberg that he and Childish Gambino have recorded at least 6 songs for a joint project that fans have been begging for. So look, Chance has been busy. Which one of these projects would you be more excited for?
I'm excited more for the one with him and Childish. I'm really excited for that one. I like Childish Gambino's music like more and more the more shit he puts out. I think that he's getting better with time because I didn't get it early on. I always said that, like, I didn't get it early on. But I think him and Chance would be a nice mashup. They got a tour coming as well. So, I mean, that's not left field. I just want to know who's going to be producing on this. Can somebody go get Just Blaze?
Hey, I will say this about Childish and Chance, though. Their project, if they only got 6 songs recorded, I can imagine it's not near to be done. Like, we got like a couple songs recorded, it basically means we went in the studio, we sent a couple tracks back and forth like once. You get me? Like, making an album and an album that's not rushed and where you really get to see, or it could be like classic, you gotta really put some time in and go through it. So I like the fact that they're working on some shit, but I could definitely see Chance and Ye coming out way quicker, right? Because it feels like those projects are rushed, right?
Yeah.
And I would want that joint with Childish to marinate. Let it marinate, you know what I mean? Let it marinate for a couple of months, whatever, and work on it. Give us some material that we will really enjoy. Not like try to capitalize off whatever hype that you know Childish Gambino has. We all know This America Song. And of course, Chance is Chance. Let's not try to do the hype album because we see that a lot.
Yeah.
Like the Drake and Future joint, I thought
That
was like, all right, cool. I'm hot, you're hot. Let's just make one for the bag real quick. I don't want that from those particular two artists. And I don't think it would be the same either with him and Ye. I just want it to be more Chance, less Ye.
Yes.
Okay?
Less Ye. I could deal with, like I said, just production, man.
Clearly, we're expecting a lot more projects coming this year, but since we're already halfway through 2018, it was a perfect time for Ak and Wayne to make picks for Rap MVP and Rap Rookie of 2018.
MVP, man. Right?
MVP.
Yeah. All right, so options. Drake, Kendrick, Pusha, Kanye, Jay-Z, Beyonce, Cole, J-Rock, Post Malone, Uzi, or Migos.
You want to go first, Ak?
It's a much shorter list, so.
I'm going to have to go. I know what this guy going to say. My MVP this year, thus far, remember, Drizzy drops on Thursday. But he got washed in the battle, so I can't put him.
Oh, you won't walk too much. Go ahead.
I think I got to go with KDOT. No. Oh. I'm going to give it to KDOT, but if Kanye didn't say that shit, man, I would have given it a yay, man. That nigga Kanye working overtime, doing all type of albums, production, a million miles per minute. He's doing a lot. He gave us a lot of good music, literally good music. And I would have gave it to him, but you can't be the MVP when you got diarrhea of the mouth and your conch. It's like you score 10 points, but then you allow the opposition to score 30 on you, man. Drop 30 and you let the nigga you guarding drop 60.
You know what? I give it to KDOT, Kendrick Lamar, who is my favorite rapper right now. I give it to Kendrick Lamar, of course, the Pulitzer Prize, but also for him taking a year off to let everybody else shine. I mean, Damn came out last year, and Damn still has a great lifespan. I feel Damn is a classic album as well.
So, you feel he's definitely MVP for last year.
I feel like he's MVP this year. So far.
Yeah, but even if you were thinking about last year, he was definitely MVP last
definitely,
year.
Definitely.
Right? So you think mid-break that.
He's MVP. I'm going to tell you why MVP. Because in order to be MVP, you got to make your teammates better. Right? It's most valuable player. So.
No Russell Westbrook out here?
Yo, chill. So the reason why is because, okay, we have the Pulitzer Prize look.
Mm-hmm. The Black Panther look.
The Black Panther.
Big for him.
The Black Panther look. They're gonna win an Oscar. Like, they're gonna end up winning an Oscar off of this. Also,
they should. Let's not jinx it, man.
Huh?
They should.
I don't believe in jinxing. I don't believe in jinxing. Also, the championship tour. Going on tour with your whole entire team, everybody coming to see you, but everybody getting their shine and you doing arenas.
Word.
And overall, I mean, for him to be chilling, he's just as relevant as if he had his own album out. Mm-hmm. So I got to give it to my man K-Dot for MVP for those reasons.
Rookie of the Year? What are you doing, bro?
All right, yeah. Come on, we're Rookie of the Year, man.
Not yet. This is our last one. So Rookie of the Year options are Jay Critch, Sheck West, Young Nudie, YBN Almighty, Lil Xan, Bad Baby, Bobby, Tekashi 6ix9ine, Smoke Perp, Gunna, and Lil Baby.
My Rookie of the Year, I got to go with the young brother Gunna. I got to go with the young brother Gunna. I mean, I know Lil Baby is more of the popular opinion, but Gunna is too in a sense, right? Can we, for them, I give them co-rookie of the year. Like
that works. Yeah, Lil Baby would be my pick. Yo, he floated on Yes Indeed.
Yes.
Usually when you listen to a song like that, you want to hear Drake and then you turn it off. I actually listen for him.
So
and I'm like, why didn't you give us more verses, actually?
I got to go with Gunna and Lil Baby. And I say strong, very, very strong case for my man Jay Critch.
Okay.
Very strong case for my man Jay Critch. I don't know why Almighty Jay is on here and not YB and Namir, because I feel like YB and Namir is doing way past what Almighty Jay is doing. But I got Lil Baby and Gunna.
I feel like Almighty Jay is redshirted this year, man. Give him his, like, again, I hate when two people, we know how crews come.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to identify the front guy and then the other guy is the next guy up.
Right.
But you could save him for the year after. You get me? Like, let him rock out. So redshirt him right now because he's not going to really get his time to shine until Namir's really in his pocket and doing his
but
thing.
Don't
and then
forget about Cordae on the way.
That's what I'm saying. But that's what both of them redshirted.
Right.
But you know how crews come.
I know what you get.
I'm going to say, I was going to say Lil Baby, but I was thinking about my Rookie of the Year criteria, and I said, you know what? This might not be a shocking one for the people. I'm going with 6ix9ine. I'm going with 6ix9ine for Rookie of the Year. Here's why.
Ooh.
The reason why is this. I was going to go Lil Baby, but you said it, so that kind of made me not want to go. But then I thought about it, and I said, look at this. Lil Baby, very talented. I love his music. So, he's great, like. I mean, if you listen to my playlist, I got all types of like Lil Baby songs. I love it. But he's coming through the QC factory. And QC right now, they got a cannonball. And when they're shooting, you're going to the top. I'm sorry. Like,
yo, the picture he paints is
I got a
picture. Like, I'm thinking of a QC
so we got,
cannonball.
Okay, we got Migos. We got Yachty. We have, the man is Trippy.
Stefflon Don.
Cardi.
Yeah. All these things mix in it. And then Lil Baby comes in as the, I'm the new guy with the little different swag from everybody else. Mm-hmm. Everybody kind of combining and they run like, it's more than a label, it's a family. He's like, it's like
but
he's
back on, to 6ix9ine, because we're going.
No. Well, that's what, this relates to 6ix9ine.
Okay.
It's like you're on the Warriors. Bro, like you're on the Warriors.
Hold on.
Now, no, that's a winning team. You come on the Nets.
I'm going to need your help with this one, you know.
So you're saying 6ix9ine is on the Nets?
Yeah, he's on the Brooklyn Nets, and he's putting up 30 a game. They may have got swept in the playoffs, first round, but damn, you got to give him credit because he made the team relevant. I'm giving it to 6ix9ine on that one.
Yo.
Because you know what? Honestly, through a guy who has basically isolated everyone as friends, he got no friends, no type of like big
no
support
friends.
Pushing him other than me. Well, he has somehow kind of still dropped 30 a night, and whether it's through a lot of BS antics, but he has had some records with it to match, and I think that he could probably be, he got to be in that conversation for Rookie of the Year. So I would give it
He's in the conversation. I would not say that, because I felt like 6ix9ine should have made the XXL freshman list. I felt like 6ix9ine should have been at Summer Jam. So
it's already a step beyond rookie, essentially.
Well, I mean.
I think he's in his rookie year.
He still is rookie year. And he sold 58,000 first week. I'm pretty sure he did pretty well on his project overall.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason why, and it's the problem that everybody has with 6ix9ine is like, you can't look away from the other shit. It's like, I listened to his project one time and I never
really. The off-course shit.
Huh?
Because you're using basketball analogies, right? The off-the-court shit. Right?
Off-the-court.
You're running up in
like
the stands.
He's like Dennis Rodman. Like, for real.
Okay.
Like, he's like Dennis Rodman where he was wilding off the court. Like, honestly, 6ix9ine, if you look in terms of, like, New York artists, he's kind of at the forefront as to what he's accomplished. But what he's accomplished comes a lot with all the antic shit that he does. That's why, honestly, I make a stronger consideration for my man Jay Critch, because Jay Critch doesn't have the antics. He has music.
It's how you handle the off the field stuff and how it affects what you do on the field. Yeah. How does it affect the music, right? Is the music going to be forever hot or, yeah, now you've isolated.
I ain't going for a Gummo's forever hot.
Yeah, you're right, but will you be still relevant to the current culture? And then if you've isolated everyone, I think 50 Cent kind of proved that, at least in my eyes, when you isolate everyone, you have no friends and you can't lean on someone for a record, or hey, I could be on, like, I could still keep the facade that I'm still hot while right. I find another one. Your career is ended quickly.
That's our show for the week. Thanks for tuning into the Everyday Struggle podcast. We'll catch you here every Friday.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.